Catherine Lyons is 19 years old. She is a former artistic gymnast in Great Britain, and she has become one of the voices in the newest abuse in gymnastics just a few years after Larry Nassar, the former doctor at USA Gymnastics, was found guilty of sexually assaulting hundreds of girls and women. In an ITV documentary, Lyons describes no sexual assault, but that she was abused physically and mentally. She said, for example, that she was hit, even with a stick, or that she was starved for a week by her coaches. Since then, multiple other athletes told their story, a story of a culture of fear within British gymnastics, as Lewis Smith put it, another athlete, and that begs the question, is gymnastics a sport which is prone to abuse? And I will talk about it with Annelies Knoppers. She is a professor of sports and physical education at Utrecht University. One focus of her is the relation of gender and sport, and she conducted multiple studies on abuse in sports, especially gymnastics. Hello, Professor Knoppers.
Hi, Maximilian.
I just want to start with the question I just posed. Is gymnastics a sport which is prone to abuse, and if so, why?
Oh, that's a big, big question. Well, we know it's prone to abuse because of all the cases we hear in the U.S. and in the U.K. and here in the Netherlands as well. And I think everywhere in the world you will find incidences of abuse in gymnastics. Now, gymnastics is unique in some ways because the participants start out very young. You know, they may be 6, 7 years old or sometimes even younger when they start. So there is an adult-child relationship, which often is a little different than in other sports where the athletes may be older, teenagers or adults. So you already have that as a different factor. I think it's the same as in figure skating. So gymnastics is unique, and it's also unique. We call it women's gymnastics, but it's really girls' gymnastics. These are young girls who are participating. Once they reach the 20s, they're already past their prime.
What are the factors that can facilitate abuse in sports or in gymnastics?
Well, there's many. I mean, there's people tend to blame just the coaches and say, well, that's just, you know, a bad coach, and once we replace him or her, we're fine. That's not how it works. And part of it is the socialization of coaches, how they are trained. They tend to coach the way that they've been coached, so it perpetuates certain patterns. But also the pressure to win. You know, like here in the Netherlands, we have several centers that train aspiring top gymnasts. But those centers get their money if the gymnasts perform well. So if the centers don't deliver any Olympic athletes, they are in danger of losing their funding. So the pressure to win is also enormous, besides just the way that coaches are socialized to coach. The other thing we should not neglect to mention is that when a coach or when a team does well and repeatedly, then other coaches go look and see, oh, what is that coach doing? And how is he or she coaching the athletes? And they copy that. So you see a type of coaching behavior also repeated, replicated over and over because everybody wants to be a winning coach. And so that also is a problem. So if your team doesn't do well, then they say, yeah, but, you know, you're not a good coach because you don't do this and this. You don't scream at your athletes or whatever. Another factor that plays a role, especially in gymnastics, are parents. Parents ultimately are responsible for their children, but parents often don't know that much about gymnastics. They don't know that if a coach says, hey, these kids have to train 30 hours a week, these parents may not know enough to say, well, I'm sorry, but my daughter is only going to train 15 hours because I think she should have a life outside of gymnastics. And then the coach can say, well, then she can't be on the team or she can't train here. So parents have a hard time protecting their children. Plus, their daughters may say, yeah, but mom or dad, I really like gymnastics, so you have to let me do this. Mm. Parents, therefore, have a difficult time. And they often, unless they come have a gymnastics background themselves, they have no idea. If a coach says, this is what an athlete has to do, or an athlete has to lose 10 pounds, or she has to do this or that, especially if the parents have been told your athlete has Olympic potential, they'll obey the coach because they don't know any better.
Hmm. You mentioned a lot of factors. Let me come back to the athletes for 1 second. Why does it take so long for athletes to speak up? I mean, it's probably a combination of all the things that you mentioned. How do athletes maybe rationalize what's happening to them? And why does it take so long to realize that that what's happening is abuse?
Well, I know it's not a popular word to use in terms of emotional abuse, but I would call it a sort of grooming, a sort of sliding scale. You know, at first it's all lots of fun, et cetera, and then gradually there's more pressure on them. And with each step, okay, they sort of shrug the shoulders. Well, that's the way it is here. This is what I have to accept, and this is how the coach is. And so they accept that. And so they, and he, like I said, these are kids. These are kids and who got hooked into the sport because they loved it or because they were told that they were or could be very good in it. And so, and then it's very difficult to say, hey, no, I don't want that, or you can't yell at me, or whatever. Because the other part of it is, if a kid goes home and says, boy, the coach really yelled, and he or he ignored me, or this or this, and the parent goes to the coach and says, hey, blah, 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 then the athletes get punished for that the next time.
So the coach has a lot of power.
Exactly.
How do you prevent the coach to abuse this power?
Well, but the coach also is under pressure to perform, to produce top athletes. So who puts pressure on the coach? It's usually because gymnastics is a club sport, and so it's usually then the managers or the board of directors of the sport, of the club, who hire this coach, and they want the coach to produce winning athletes. But the, and then the funding for the club is dependent on the coach doing that. So the coach is also under pressure. If a club would say to the coach, all right, we have a lot of girls who want to do gymnastics, you make sure they learn skills and that they really get a lot of pleasure out of the sport, period. That's quite different than saying, okay, now in 5 years, you should place at least one athlete at the top level or winning regional competitions or national competitions or whatever.
In one of your studies, you talked to coaches and also directors of these organizations. Can you describe how they rationalize their behavior?
Well, the coaches say, well, this is what works. I've been to this or I've been to that, or my experiences, they draw a lot upon their own experience and say, this is what works for me, or I was an athlete and this is what works for me. And they have all these arguments about this works and this is how you do it. And these arguments may come from their own experience as athletes, from what they've seen other top coaches do. If you go back in history, back to the 1976 Olympics in Montreal, then Nadia Comăneci won the gold medal in gymnastics and was very different from the gymnast that had been there before because she was younger, much younger.
She was 14 years old at that time, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And she did routines and skills that no one had ever seen before, and I think she was the first to get it then. So coaches sit up and take notice, and they go see, okay, what did her coach do to get this? And they see coaches, or the, at that time it was the Romanian coaches, but who really, what we would call emotionally abuse and physically abuse the athletes.
Yeah, so that set the tone, basically, for every other coach that followed in this footsteps, because one should probably mention the Romanian coaches then defected to the United States and built up the USA system, the Caroli coaches.
And that's where Nasser, of course, from the USA, was also at the Caroli ranch gymnastic complex or whatever worked there as well. So you get all these weird combinations where coaches rule, so to speak.
Is there any way to break this system?
Well, I've thought about this quite a bit, but I'm beginning to think that the only way that you could do this is, well, not the only way, but one of the ways to do it is, first of all, raise the age limit that gymnasts are allowed, women gymnasts are allowed to perform at national or international level. Let's say if you raise it to 18, instead of allowing such young girls to be involved. And another would be is to, for a country to say, hey, gymnastics is not going to be our priority at the elite level. We want it at the grassroots level because girls and some boys really like it, but we don't want medals or whatever because in the end run, it may be damaging to the girls long term, be it emotional, physical abuse, or even the wear and tear on their bodies in the long term.
Because in some countries, there will be these kinds of abuses, no matter what happens.
Right.
So if I'm a parent and I'm thinking about sending my kid into a gymnastics club, how do I determine that my child is safe?
That's a very good question. We have a project running on that right now where we have discussion groups with parents. And even just having the discussion groups are eye-openers for the parents. Where, for example, they learn from each other. Where one says, yeah, my kid strained a muscle or even broke a limb and nobody did anything and everybody's shocked and blah, 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 blah. And then they start asking questions. Yeah, but how is this arranged if there's an accident at the club or whatever? And so in that sense, the parents become more involved and start asking questions because they hear the experiences of others. So that's one of the things you'd want to do is to share with others. Another thing that I would suggest if you are a parent is get together with a parent and make sure that every practice there's one parent present.
So to have another adult in the room.
Exactly, because a lot of the abuse that we uncovered was when there was no other adult present or they had curtains so that no one could watch.
Do you think that given the new revelations in UK gymnastics, that there will be a change in the culture in some countries in the way they treat the gymnast?
Well, if I base it on the experience here in the Netherlands, I doubt it.
Why?
Because as long as those athletes... Now, let me backtrack. We did a study a couple of years ago, and we showed all these practices, and especially emotional practices, and where athletes who had retired from the sport had to have counseling and their families afterwards because they were so damaged by it. And so we presented that to our National Gymnastics Union, but very little change occurred because they were doing so well. They were scoring at the international level. So there was no way they were going to change their programs. Yes, they said we'll do positive coaching, but at the same time, they wanted to produce athletes who won medals. So it's a very complicated issue.
So it basically starts from the top and with the expectations.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an issue at the top. Also, at the elite level, it's not so much an issue at the grassroots level where kids tumble and jump and do all sorts of cartwheels or whatever and enjoy. The pressure is not there. The aim then is enjoyment and seeing what their bodies can do. The pressure comes when they are sub top or just under the elite level and are being developed so that eventually they can do well at national and international level. And so I guess my pessimistic view is if you want to change a sport, it has to be at a time when a country is doing very poorly and is really not that interested in gymnastics so that they won't put the pressure on to produce medals.
I see.
Because everything we said, they said, yeah, but look, we're doing so well and the athletes are loving it.
But they don't.
Well, at the moment, I mean, what athlete who's scoring, doing well in the international competition is going to say, I don't like it, I hate it, I want to get out? They're not going to say that when they're at the top of their career or when they're being told, hey, if you work really hard for the next 2 years, you can be there at the Olympics, blah, 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 blah. At that point, they've invested so much. Their parents have invested so much. There are very, very few kids, because that's what they are, kids, are going to say, okay, now I'm going to retire. Okay, let's say that I am a gymnast, and or I've become a gymnast, and my parents really foster my participation and encourage it and say, you know, oh, yeah, okay. So they drive me to meets, and our whole family schedule gets changed just so I can go to practice. And on weekends, we go all over the country so I can compete. And so I see my parents and my family sort of arranging their whole family schedule around me. Then it's very difficult for me at a certain point, knowing all you have invested in me, to say, okay, I'm stopping now, I've had enough. You know, they want to give their parents or their family also a reward, so to speak, to show that they were really worth it.